Hello, everyone. Welcome to Speak Before I Think. I'm your host, Jack Thaddeus, and here today I have a Grammy-nominated and former Lumineers member, Maxwell Hughes.
Hi. Thanks.
Did I say your last name right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank God. Yeah. tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I am a Fort Collins native, born and raised here.
Ooh, we love to hear that.
Yeah. So, been playing music since I was 16. So a long time, picked up the guitar, fell in love with it, just became a part of my whole identity, my whole life. So
that's so cool. Yeah. So I kind of saw that you're self-taught, right? With the guitar.
Yeah.
So how did that work out for you?
Learned some like basic chords and songs, kind of just started going down like the traditional, you know, route that way, and then just started seeing different guitar players over time, and really focused on trying to adopt like some of the things I was seeing them do. The more complicated it was, the more I was interested in it. So
I love that. Yeah. So I'm a little curious, because I know, especially with you, you are very well known for your technique to be very unique. Mm. So I was kind of curious how you kind of developed your signature two-tapping style.
Yeah, so my first influence was a gentleman named Tommy Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guitarist out of Australia. And that's really how I got interested in like the finger-picking stuff. He's incredible. And then after some years of playing that, I was introduced to a girl named Khaki King.
Mm-hmm.
And she did more of that like over the top of the neck of the guitar and like tappy percussive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my style is really just a culmination of those two primarily, and then just picking up different tricks along the way, and then coming up with some of my own little techniques. And
that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so I am very curious, what was it like competing in the International Fingerstyle Championship?
Competitions are weird.
Yeah?
Just in general, like, there's something about it that's not, that I don't like, because music shouldn't be about a it shouldn't be a competition.
Yeah.
You know? Like, art shouldn't be a competition.
Mm-mm.
But for something like that, it's more technique-based, so I get why it's, why there is a competition, but yeah, it was really funny. I ended up like hitchhiking my way out there because I didn't have a car at the time, and
no way.
And then the guitar that I had, I actually ran over with my car on the tour, like before the car broke down. Ended up running that over, so I got there with this busted guitar.
Holy shit!
Ended up just. Camping out for a few days, and then competing in the competition. It's like about an 8-hour event.
Uh-huh.
And then ended up getting third.
And that's
they
sick.
Gave me a special award at the end. They were like, from going from the least valued instrument in the competition to one of the most valuable. So I ended up getting a Larrivee LV10 guitar, which is about a $5,000 guitar.
That is so fucking cool.
So it was pretty funny.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the hitchhiking? How the fuck did that work?
I mean, like, all of our friends and stuff at that time were just kind of hitchhiking or hopping trains, and, you know, we were just roughing it, kind of Jack Kerouac influenced, you know.
Hey, it always takes the creativity, you know?
Yeah.
If there's a will, there is a way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've actually picked up some friends of mine, like, hitchhiking in the middle of Wyoming randomly. I just go to pick somebody, this hitchhiker, up, and I'm like, oh, I know you. Like, this is crazy.
That is awesome.
So.
Okay, so along with that, you were also a former member of the Lumineers. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little bit of background with that?
Yeah, so the two main guys in the band had just moved to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going down there to play like open mic nights and stuff like that. So I met them at an open mic night.
Oh, that's sick.
And then we sort of just ran in the same music circles, and then offered to play mandolin with them if they ever needed, you know. And then it just ended up working out. We ended up touring for like 2 years.
That's sick.
And then got signed on with a management company based out of Seattle, and then and then it just went upward from there. So
that is so cool. Yeah. Okay. So what about some of the different experiences during that time? Do you feel like it's
That tour was really funny.
Yeah.
Like our the tour that we when we got signed to the management company, we were doing a residency in New York. So every, I forget what it was, every like Monday for a month, we were playing at the same venue, and just watching that grow bigger and bigger. And then in the middle of the week, we would go, you know, up to like Maine or down to New Jersey, or like we were just kind of operating as New York is like the home base, and then touring around that. So watching this thing grow, and then we'd go to like Maine, and we're just playing to the bartender, and then soon he just walks out, so we're just playing to nobody. So it's like this weird thing, and then like getting that management, and then, you know, it's just like there's cool stuff happening, but it's just a mixed bag of like good and weird and awful.
That is so crazy. So was it like with the Lumineers, was that kind of like your introduction to touring around, or did you tour a little bit beforehand?
I had been touring solo before that.
Okay.
And then so we kind of helped each other out. Like I had some networks throughout the country that we were using to go tour, and then they had some connections as well.
Mm-hmm.
So very grassroots, very DIY kind
that
of thing,
is so awesome. I remember just like looking into it because like you reached out to me and I was like, oh hell yeah, because it's awesome that people like are reaching out just to for the interview. But then I was like looking into it and I was like, oh shit. But yeah, okay, so how did your experience with the Lumineers kind of do you feel like there's any inspirations that you took in when going solo again?
Kind of. There was a funny thing that I used to do with the band with because I primarily do like finger style guitar playing. Is I would actually start covering the songs of the band in a finger style arrangement.
Oh, nice.
So I kind of took that from that and just started doing other like arrangements. Like I have a video on YouTube of me doing a Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I watched that. Like, it was so cool.
Yeah, thanks. that was shot here at here in town at Avogadro's.
Okay, I was wondering. Yeah. It looks so familiar, but I just couldn't put like my finger down on like where it was.
Yeah,
I'm glad that it was Fort Collins. I was like, I knew it.
Yeah,
it had all the spirit. It had the Fort Collins spirit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that video was actually part of like a fundraising effort. Mm-hmm. So it was like the 20-year mark around Kurt Cobain's suicide. So we worked with the Larimer County Suicide Prevention Center. They were the fundee, the person we were raising the money for. And then Avogadro's donated the time. We had a film crew donate their time. I had a $500 budget that just went to drinks for all the crew during the filming, and then the Lyric Cinema donated some theater space, so we ended up having a premiere there for it. Raised a few thousand dollars. So
that is so sick.
Yeah,
love the Lyric. Actually, the Lyric's helping me out too. I love how much they like are so community involved.
Yeah.
Okay, but I want to go into a little more about how your songwriting works, especially because you are an instrumentalist. So when you're kind of only focusing on the instrumentals, how is that process for you?
It's evolved over time. Like, when I was younger, I was more sort of into that percussive kind of tappy sound. But as I've gotten older, I'm more focused, more melody focused instead of like full bodied percussion, that kind of thing. So it's really been evolving to just be melody driven, and the idea behind that is like I want people to be able to hum one of my songs and like take a melody with them instead of just like a bunch of percussive stuff that you can't really like do. So a lot of my newer stuff is kind of like that.
That's very cool. Yeah. So I know you play guitar, and it sounds like you play mandolin. What other instruments?
I play also play bass, and then a little bit of keyboards.
Nice.
And I can fake my way through a cello.
A cello? Oh, yeah. I love cellos.
So where it's like impressive to somebody who doesn't play cello, but very not impressive to somebody who does. So,
yeah. I love that. Let's see. Are there any other guitarists or any other guitarists, instrumentalists, or musicians that have kind of inspired your sound and your journey?
To be honest, like video game music has probably had the biggest influence in my to my sound without even knowing.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of turned out to be like. Like, I'd be like, oh, yeah, this sounds like it could be in a video game.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know? So that's kind of my... I like that about it, but...
Okay, well, what video games?
Like, Mega Man.
Mega Man,
like,
okay.
Like, old NES stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please say, any inspirations from The Legends of Zelda?
I could probably see a little bit of that. Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, I played it so much, it's like, it's, you know, baked in. So.
What's one of your, like, Zelda songs?
That's hard. I don't know, actually.
That's very fair. I have Kakariko Village. Have you ever played Ocarina?
Yeah.
Yep. That was, like, probably one of the first, like, intermediate songs I've ever learned for myself.
Oh,
and
nice.
So, love that song. Trying to learn, have you played Breath of the Wild at all? Mm-hmm. Like, the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking love that one.
Yeah.
I think it's called, why can't I remember? It's like...
Like the main theme?
No, but it's like that big bird that plays the accordion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember it, but awesome. Mm-hmm. So, going into... outside of video games, you have definitely worked with a lot of other bands. It seems like Edison is another good collaboration that you did.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit more about what Edison was and how that worked?
Again, just like a fate kind of thing, bringing people together. There was an organization in town called Spokesbuzz.
Mm-hmm.
That was geared towards just amplifying the music scene and, you know, creating opportunities for local musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I got chosen as one of their artists, and I forget what her name or what her title was, but Sarah, my old bandmate, was the person sort of like doing the interviews for that process.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to know each other through that. And then Spokes was doing an event down at South by Southwest. So while we were down there, Edison had a tour and I had a tour, and they were kind of like lining up.
Mm-hmm.
So we just decided to tour together. And then by the end of the tour, we're like, we feel like a family and we should probably be in a band.
I love that.
That's kind of how that worked.
How do you guys come to the name Edison?
So Sarah had that, it was based off a quote from, what book was that? It was a Thomas Edison's quote before he died. I forget what it was, but it was very meaningful to her at the time after she had lost her mother.
Mm.
And so that was sort of the direction of that's how that name came up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell us, so just kind of diving into it a little more, can you fill us in on a little bit with the Familiar Spirit album and how that kind of came together?
Yeah, that was fun. That was, so we'd been playing, with Edison, we all got rid of our apartments and our houses, and we bought a van, and we just lived and toured in that van for 3 years.
That's sick.
It was crazy.
No way.
Yeah. Just, I mean, from coast to coast, back and forth for like 3 years. So a lot of those songs were written like on the road, like, but we'd have to carve out time to write and practice and like, because we were just nonstop going, go, go, go. We just didn't have time to write music. Uh-huh. So we would do these little staycations. We did one at the Music District, actually.
No way!
Did a writing session there. They put us up in, they have an apartment near there. Mm-hmm. So they put us up in their apartment, gave us access to the studio.
And so just, cool.
Yeah, so that was nice. We had a few songs come out of there. There's this place called Arcosanti in Arizona. I don't really know how to describe it. It's this giant half dome that was designed to be a city eventually.
A city?
But the designer died before he could complete it. So it's just this wild building and structure, and like there's a bunch of people who live and work there.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave us a residency so we could write.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so it was really great. From there, we also did a residency in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got connected with our label that helped put the album out. And yeah, recorded it in Austin.
That is so cool. Yeah. With residencies, I'm kind of like a little more curious about that. What is, like, because like a residency, obviously you're staying at that venue, you're kind of performing there, but what is it kind of like? Do you know, like, do you get a little attached? Are you...
Yeah, so I mean, the whole idea behind it is to try to develop an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody would do this, but there's certain venues that kind of see the benefit of having a consistent, you know, show time for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
To help grow an artist. Sadly, the places that we played in New York, they had to shut down because, mm-hmm. Like the last time we played there, they were saying that the rents were quadrupling. And this was 2016,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I can't even imagine like,
ooh, especially now. After COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. But I'm also a little bit more curious. Sorry, I'll bring it back to the album. Yeah. For viewers that haven't been able to listen to Familiar Spirit.
Check it out on Spotify.
Check it out on Spotify! But what would you kind of describe the album? What's the feeling? What's the genre?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of the songs that Sarah has written on, like for that album were about loss, whether it's, you know...
Mm-hmm.
From a lover or a family member, you know. Mm-hmm. So Familiar Spirit's sort of like a little ghostly kind of vibe to it. but then we also have a song on there called Open Road, and that's about being in a van, living together, you know. Like, so there are some positive things as well.
I love that.
But it's a little on the darker side. Mm-hmm. And then... yeah, we have a song on there called New York, just about her experience in New York, and yeah.
That's awesome. So what was kind of your involvement with it?
So the way we would write songs is, Sarah's not, I think she's a fine guitar player,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't think she's that great, so she'll come up with a, like, kind of a melody and a chord structure that she kind of likes, and then she'll go give it to me and go, you know, make it more intricate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how we would like get the foundation, and then our other bandmate Dustin would figure out like drum parts, mandolin parts, trumpet parts, harmonica. It was so fun to like, it was like a one-man band.
Uh-huh.
In the band. So he would, like, stand and play the drums,
mm-hmm.
and play mandolin and trumpet at the same time. And
what? Like,
yeah, it was fun.
Wait, are there any videos of that?
Probably on YouTube, yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
If you find any, please.
I'll send it to you.
It'll be right down below, everyone. Right down below. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So I am a little more curious. I didn't actually get to confirm with you, but do you still kind of do like lessons? Do you still kind of do that aspect?
Or no, I've tried doing the lessons in the past, and I personally don't have the patience for it.
Fuck them kids.
Well, you know what I mean? I just have a hard time, taking people's money who don't actually want to learn and aren't willing to, put in the time that they're paying me for. Mm-hmm. So I know I probably shouldn't have that attitude.
Well, you're also self-taught, so yeah. You know, you kind of have that.
Yeah, that's another thing is I don't have a formal, I never took formal lessons, so I don't know how to formally teach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just have the things I know, and
cool.
So I would be open to doing lessons, but more on a intermediate to advanced level.
Mm-hmm.
I do. From time to time, do master classes, before a concert.
Oh, no way. Wait, yeah, so for do you do any with CSU or?
I haven't done any there. But yes, just a fingerstyle master class, you know.
So cool.
I'd love to do one at CSU if you guys are.
Please do.
For anything like that. So
I'm not the best in touch. Kayleen, do you know? How can we get him to have a master class? Just kidding. Not to put you on the spot. But honestly, yeah, I would be interested in helping with that. I'll figure out some stuff, work my connections. Yeah, my boyfriend, he's a music major, so
yeah.
I know a lot of people would be so happy to work with you.
Totally, yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah, I'd love to. Let's get that started.
Okay.
It'll be on my list of things to do. But let me see. Okay, so we definitely go into that. When it comes into, your own music, how would you describe your genre and feeling, what you're trying to convey?
I've created my own genre of it. I call it instrumental fantasy folk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, a lot of the songs that I have are just from a deeply nerdy place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to tell a lot of stories with the song. To kind of paint a picture, since there's no lyrics to guide the imagery.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to tell stories to kind of express, here's what I was thinking when I wrote it, but, you know, here's this steampunk trilogy that I wrote.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I think one of the cool things about instrumental music, too, is, you get to create the vision of, you get to create the story.
I definitely...
You know?
Is there, a reason behind you don't have lyrics?
It stems from an insecurity of singing, not liking my own voice. And I've definitely, been overcoming that over the years. So I really do enjoy singing, and, being in Edison really helped, because they really encouraged me to, sing more. And so we would do a lot of, three-part harmonies and stuff like that, so.
That's very odd.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll kind of, involve it with your next, your... upcoming music with new things going on, or do you think you're gonna stick with more of the instrumentals?
So the music that I've been writing recently is more just instrumental. I do write some lyrical stuff, but the stuff that I want to be releasing sooner than later is gonna be kind of still instrumental, but not the acoustic. Just me on the guitar. So I'm primarily playing electric for the stuff I'm recording, and then running through Ableton, I'm just kind of building on top of that and making it more, you know, some of them are a little more EDM sounding.
No way!
Yeah,
I love that!
Yeah, so just playing around with sounds and, yeah.
Oh, that is so exciting! No, I'll save that for a second. But, okay. So... let's kind of go into, I saw that you did a TED Talk with CSU or TEDx CSU?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll add a link to that as well. Okay. A link in that down there. but definitely a huge achievement. What was kind of the key message you gave in that?
Well, it's funny because I start out in the video and I go, I don't really have anything to say. I just have music to share.
Uh-huh.
And so that was really, the focus was just performance, not really talking about anything.
So did you just kind of play?
Just played.
That is awesome.
So
what'd you play?
I played three songs. One was called No Name. I forget what the other one was called. and then a song called Strong Arm, which is a song I developed to try to help teach people how to play guitar with only one arm,
mm-hmm.
who only have the use of one arm. So the whole song is played just with one arm.
That is...
So...
How... I wish I had a guitar, but, like, kind of, what is, like, the mechanics behind that?
So, it's all about hammering on and pulling off.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a series of those, and how you can do, you know, multiple hammer-ons and pull-offs at the same time, and kind of, yeah, just kind of like that. Using the open strings of the guitar to your advantage,
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to, like mute anything. So
that's yeah. very cool.
I think that's the last song in that TEDx performance. So
no, okay. Yeah. I can't wait to watch it. I'm gonna definitely watch it right after.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
But yeah, no, like you're awesome. I especially like looking into you. Like there's just so much behind you. Yeah. So you made me really excited to be able to like interview you.
Yeah.
I'm a little curious about kind of more of the mental health aspect. You mm-hmm. had the Smells Like Teen Spirit. Mm-hmm. That was definitely about suicide prevention. Have you had like any other involvement with that mental awareness?
I haven't, no, but if anybody out there needs Music Cares is a program that's funded for sort of taking care of the mental health and physical health of musicians
mm-hmm.
That you apply through grants to get certain things. So if anybody out there is needing mental health assistance, Music Cares is a good resource for that.
Awesome. So. Yeah. I'll have another link down below.
Yeah.
But I'm a little more curious then, if it's not like involving outside, what about like more internally? What is your relationship to music?
Difficult.
Yeah.
Struggling. Ever evolving. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's been complicated over the years where it started out as like the difficult part was the fun part,
mm-hmm.
like learning how to do the different techniques and do these things. And then it evolved from the creation was the fun part and then performance was the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, I really enjoy creating in my own studio, you know, mm-hmm. at home. And like, so it's evolved over time. I forget the question.
Oh, no. It's okay. Sometimes I don't blame you. No. But it was kind of just more of how music mixes in with your mental health, kind of. But to give you more like of a guidance kind of question, mm-hmm. What was my question? Fuck, I forgot my own question. So when you kind of go through, you know, writer's block, music block, mm-hmm. Has there been anything to kind of overcome that, or is it just more like time heals? What is that for you?
Definitely time heals. I found that like when I was touring a lot, mm-hmm. I would get a lot of inspiration while driving around the country,
mm-hmm.
But with no way of capturing that, okay. other than like pulling out my phone and recording what's going on in my head. But I would have these like full orchestrations that I would build in my head, and be like, okay, well, this is pointless. Like, I'm not gonna remember this. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, you know, trying to capture the inspiration when it's there is really important because it doesn't always come. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
So, but then with writer's block, it's like, don't force it. Don't try to force it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It'll just come.
What would you say is like, did you ever have like long periods of writer's block?
Oh, or? Yeah. Like yeah. 2 years.
2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that?
Where I'm like, I'm not getting any better. I'm not writing anything. I'm mm-hmm. not like, but I would just keep playing, you know, the stuff that I've already written and just keep the chops up.
Oh yeah. But,
yeah.
Nice. Well, like, I guess within those 2 years, what were you kind of doing instead of music? Was it just typical work or,
yeah, you know? Work, construction, you know,
Nice.
So it's pretty much been music and construction throughout my life.
No, it's so funny. There is, in Longmont, there is this construction company. I'm pretty sure they're a construction company, but they're called Coda. Mm-hmm. But they have, like, the Coda symbol. So it made me so confused because I was like...
Are you music? Or, yeah.
I was like... Like, it took me a second. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But there's, I mean, there's so many musicians in the construction industry. It's pretty wild.
Oh, like, I believe it.
Yeah.
There's musicians everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like the plague. No, just kidding.
I can't get rid of them.
To
blight on society.
Let's see. Okay. So, you've also toured with, or... I don't know if it was toured, but I saw, like, the Aggie you performed with, like, Imagine Dragons and the Heart. What was...
Or Imagine like, Dragons. Yeah, I was at the Aggie.
Uh-huh.
Head and the Heart, when I was in the with the Lumineers, we played with quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of like our rival band. and so there's always, like, a little tension with them, which was kind of funny. And then the lead singer... was such an asshole that like all of the bands that we played with before the Lumineers like blew up,
mm-hmm.
they took with on the road except for that band, the Head and the Heart.
Really?
Because they were that guy was such an asshole.
That sucks.
And then so they were way bigger than we were at the time, and then Lumineers just skyrocketed, and it was like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
So. That guy punched out the sound guy at somebody else's show.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, did you say he punched out someone?
Yeah.
What?
Like, the sound guy at somebody else's show.
Do you know why?
I don't know why. I bet it was...
Damn it.
I bet it was dumb, though.
Most of the times, if anyone's getting physical at...
Yeah,
you're a dumb guy. Dumb in the beginning. Yeah. Use your words!
Yeah.
That is so cool. Okay. What did you enjoy most about being on the road?
People, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, meeting people from all over the country and just... Everyone was so, like, nice and welcoming. And, you know, we ended up staying with a lot of people on the road as well. Like, people would just meet that night. And they'd put us up and, you know, take care of us for the night. And...
Mm-hmm.
Became friends that way, and yeah, it's that was probably my favorite part.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Has there been like any, like, you know, if you're to go on tour again, is there any places and states or provinces that you'd be like, for sure going back there?
Yeah, I actually go to Boise a lot.
Boise.
I love Boise. Yeah,
nice.
It's a great town. And they've they've been very good to me in that town.
Mm-hmm.
So love going there. There's more places that I love than I don't. So like, yeah, there's just some Midwest stuff that's like rough, man. It's the people are rough. It's like,
mm-hmm.
the area is rough, you know.
Call them out. Which places?
All right. So Joliet, Illinois is a rough place.
Really?
And the people that I've met there have been super awesome. We had this, we used to play at this place called the Drunken Donut.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a donut shop that then at night converted into a bar. And, it was owned by this old Polish guy who's probably like in the Polish mafia, but like changed his identity and moved to the States, like barely spoke English. And, yeah, we had a great time there. Met a lot of really cool people there. Yeah, but that town is rough, man.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things that I'm very excited to hear about is that you're a Fort Collins native. You know, mm-hmm. this whole podcast right now is definitely Fort Collins based. So what was it like kind of like growing up here in Fort Collins?
That was the best.
Yeah?
Yeah, Fort Collins is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing I learned like from touring too, where I'm like, everywhere else is fine,
mm-hmm.
but Fort Collins is the best. Like, I don't know.
What sets it so different?
It's just, I think there's like an attitude, and if Fort Collins is changing,
mm-hmm.
but
for the better,
not to me, not in my eyes, but, there's just like a Colorado vibe
mm-hmm.
that I feel like Fort Collins just really, nailed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's just really chill. It's like the Shire in Lord of the Rings.
It's
kind of what I think, where it's like everyone's drinking beer and just mm-hmm. chilling and like, you know.
No, literally, it is so cool because, I mean, you guys can't see this, but literally, like, to our left, there's just some guys playing around on the table tennis.
Yeah.
They're really respectful. I was a little worried. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Oh no. Yeah. And then I was just like, oh, you guys could. So chill. Everyone here is so chill. Mm-hmm. Most of the time.
Yeah. Plus, like, everybody's like smoking weed and going hiking and just mm-hmm. like, it's just very like, no one's in a rush, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely see that.
And maybe that's why I think it's the best. some people might think New York City's the best, but, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But we had legalized weed first, so
yeah,
I think we win.
Oh yeah.
Do you smoke?
I don't.
You don't?
No,
okay.
No. Do mushrooms from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. So long with Fort Collins, you grew up here. Did you go to, like, college or anything? Or was it, like, straight into music? Like, what was that beginning
so looking for you? I mean, I shot myself in the foot
mm-hmm.
on that one. I was a bright student in, like, high school. I just, once I found the guitar, my grades just plummeted. Because mm-hmm. I was just, like, you know, just obsessed,
mm-hmm.
basically. So, yeah, I remember, like, one of the finals that I had in calculus was, like, I had a D in the class, or an F or something. And the teacher was like, I know you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, just try on this one. And I was like, okay. And I got that. Then I got a 99%. Score on the test, brought my grade up to a C minus, so I passed. But
C's get degrees.
So, yeah, so because of that, I tried the only non-musical schools that I applied to was CSU,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, that's the only place I want to go. And my GPA just didn't hit it. So mm-hmm. tried doing some community college, and then realized that it just wasn't for me.
Okay. Well, I'm a little more curious about, like, the beginnings. So, mm-hmm. you picked up the guitar, you fell in love with it. What was, like, that first instance? Like, where were you first performing at? What, you know?
I started doing open mic nights when I was, like, 16.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my first exposure. Definitely, you know, drinking at bars at that age when I wasn't supposed to be.
Yep.
Which was kind of fun. I thought it was very fun as an underage person. So really just doing open mic nights and then started doing concerts at coffee shops.
Mm-hmm.
My first band. I don't really count it, even though technically we were a band and we did shows and stuff like this. But we were a kazoo band.
A kazoo band?
I would like play guitar and then my friend Brendan would sing and play kazoo.
It was so cool.
Yeah, so it was fun. We would just do little local coffee shop gigs and some friends encouraged me to like go on tour and mm-hmm. so my first tour it was like going to be a 3-week tour. I had 3 shows booked from here to Seattle.
No fucking way.
And then, but the tour was like 3, they were all like spaced apart. So I had to like fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just go into a town and go to every music venue or bar and just say, hey, do you have live music tonight? And if they said no, I said, do you want some? And that they'd be like, okay, we'll give you like $50. And I was like, yes. So that's kind of how I got started touring and all that. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a little bit more of like a personal question, but like, how is like the music realm in Seattle? I really want to go there. I want to live there. I've been there a couple times, love it, but yeah. I'm kind of curious more of like the music, and it seems like you have firsthand experience with that.
Yeah, so Seattle, there's the whole West Coast, like in all the major cities, it's got a weird vibe. The same thing happens in New York, where you'd like be playing some really danceable stuff and nobody moves. They just stare at you. And I don't quite understand why, and maybe that's not the case. Maybe they just didn't find us particularly danceable. Yeah, there's certain places where people just, they don't dance or like bob their head or anything. They just kind of like watch.
That's so weird.
Yeah. But I mean, Seattle, the music scene there is awesome. Like, there's some really great artists out of there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I guess there's a little hope from little old me.
Yeah.
Also, just,
are you dying?
I can't tell if they're dead or not.
I don't have the light on anymore.
Yeah, the light's not on mine either.
How's it sounding out there?
It sounds fine
through here. Through the mic.
Okay.
Oh, then we're good.
Okay.
But, sorry.
No, you're good.
Sometimes I'm like literally like squirrel. But it happened last time. I don't know. My mics suck. I need to find new ones. But okay. Thank you for the advice, because definitely hoping, because I definitely love, I'm from Greeley.
Okay.
So moving here to Fort Collins was an upgrade.
The big city.
The big city. Oh, I feel like I'm on top of the world, but definitely hoping to explore outside of Colorado. So have you like always lived in, like you tour, have you like lived out of state?
Yeah,
or?
I've tried living in a few different areas. Atlanta for a minute, Arizona for a minute.
Nice.
And then I met my wife on tour. I was playing in a group called Radical Face. And we were doing like a world tour. So we were touring around in Europe, and the place that we played in Copenhagen was where I met my wife. She was actually the venue manager of the place.
Aww.
And so we got married, and then COVID hit, and then we decided to just move, that I would move there. So so I moved over there, lived there for a couple of years, and then we moved back here 2 years ago.
So how long has it been then? You guys being married. Sorry, that wasn't clear.
Oh, 2020?
Oh, yeah, that's so sweet! Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. A bit of a late congratulations, but just like a little congratulations.
Thanks.
Oh, man. No. Stuff like that always makes me like, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we actually just got our wedding rings, so we're like doing stuff.
Oh, let me see.
This actually has a guitar string in it.
No way!
Yeah, it's a little beat up right now, but...
That's sick as fuck, though.
Yeah, thanks.
I like how it kind of, like, complements the other ring you have on you.
Yeah, a little similar.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was really cute. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Like, isn't love great?
Isn't love great? Who do we hate? No, just kidding. I'm a little curious about what type of advice you have, because I definitely see that Fort Collins is huge for, like, musicians, especially, like... newer musicians, like there's always new bands forming here. What kind of advice would you give to the upcoming bands here?
I think there's two
musicians too,
depending on what they want to do with music. I would have different advice. So if they just want to play locally and develop like a local audience where they can play regularly and don't have to like tour or anything like that, then I guess the advice that I would have is, like, don't oversaturate your market.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're doing just shows that are free to the public. But don't try to do too many ticketed shows in one market.
you're ever looking for free shows, there's always the Music Business Collective here at CSU. We're always looking for new artists, yeah. And we don't have money, so...
And we can't pay you.
We can't pay you. Well, we maybe can yeah. on special occasions.
But if somebody's wanting to have a more national, like, presence, then I would say, like, that's the mindset you have to have, is, like, don't consider yourself a local band. Consider yourself a national band, and then work to figure out how to make that happen. But like, it's really hard in Colorado to get to break out of that without that kind of mindset.
Oh yeah.
You know, to get picked up by a manager or a label or like, you know, so it's just more about the mindset. And then, if that is your mindset, keep records of all your shows. Keep ticket attendance, weather, document the weather, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why the weather?
Document if there's holidays around when you play. So I have a spreadsheet with all of this stuff. And it's, so weather is, if an agent were to be looking at your kind of tour history. And say you did well the time before, and your ticket sales went down, but the weather was terrible. That can like affect.
Oh, I get you now.
It skews the attendance. So it's just another variable to account in certain things.
Smart.
But just keep it organized. Treat it like a business. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so...
Pay your taxes.
Yeah, do your taxes.
We got...
No, I'm not gonna...
We got... Edison got popped. They sent us a back tax thing that was brutal.
What does taxing kind of look like as an artist?
Same as a business.
Same as a business?
Yeah.
Do you guys, like, have an LLC, like, when you create that? Yep. Or yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we just, we just didn't file, and then, because we didn't have any money to pay them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so they sent us a letter. And thankfully, we got it resolved, because we were like, hey, please, we can't do this. Like,
well, you are here for this interview, so they didn't take you in.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so do you have... We're kind of getting a little bit towards the end. Do you have any upcoming stuff we have to look forward to?
Yeah, so Edison is actually... we got together not too long ago for a writing session up in the mountains. We got a cabin. And just we ended up writing 4 new songs. So we've been kind of talking about like getting back together and, you know, doing all this stuff. So we're actually going to be releasing some of our old demos, but like the deluxe versions of them, the songs that we haven't released before, and then we're gonna be releasing some new tunes.
So. Oh, you're fucking kidding.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Oh, you have me stoked. Oh, yeah. I'm up and ready. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So we got that coming out. I'm gonna have some releases coming up probably in the spring. So yeah, everything right now is just kind of percolating. And then, I'm just trying to get all the back end stuff, like my website, redone. And so don't go to my website because it doesn't exist.
I experienced that this morning. I was like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, it's been under construction for a while.
I love that.
But yeah, you know, there's so much to it, though. You got to get like photos and videos, and then get your website updated, you know, get my bio updated. So there's quite a bit to do. But I'm just going to take the winter time to try to get all that figured out.
I feel you with that. I'm currently creating the Speak Before I Think website. I mean, I have a cheap one. I have, like, a dinky little one already set up just, like, for people to look at for now. But, like, in my class, I take a digital marketing. So it's like, oh, you're going to learn how to do website stuff and this and that. But, yeah, no, it's fucking annoying. But, I am learning, so if you need any help, I will totally, like, let me know.
Yeah. It's the funniest thing, because it's like, I want to be a musician, and it's like, great. Well, now you have to be a photographer, videographer, video editor, photo editor, your own marketing person. You have to, like, be your own booking agent. You have to be your own manager. You have to, like, the amount of hats that you have to wear to just be like, I want to do this full time. It's a lot.
Yep. Yeah. I see you on that one, but, you know, I'm here. I have marketing under my belt, and that's a little secret, but I am a business major. I'm a business major, but my certificate's in the music business. So I definitely, as much as I wish I was more on the music side, I definitely, at the end of the day, it kind of comes more to the music business aspect, I guess. Yeah. So that's why I like doing stuff like this, because it's my, like, little creative.
Totally, yeah.
Like, getting to meet people and type of thing. But, yeah sadly, I'm a business major.
Nice.
Biggest regret, don't do it. Don't do it.
Another piece of advice for musicians who are trying to do something, work with CSU.
Mm.
There's people who need projects, and you're terrible at this, so come to them.
Come to us. We're the music business people. Yeah. We're here. We're literally creating ourselves to help people like you. Yeah. And so,
Yeah, I worked with a girl named Kenzie, and she ended up putting this whole marketing plan together for me as part of her project.
That's awesome.
And it was great, you know. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, she was working with SpokesBuzz at the time. So
SpokesBuzz, yeah. I haven't heard of them.
They're not around anymore.
Ah,
yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess
being a nonprofit is a terrible existence.
Yes, I have worked for many nonprofits, and let me tell you, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Like, just the amount of, like, just fundraising and stuff. It's so exhausting. So Dani Grant, who owns the Mish.
Oh, I love her. I had a class with her.
Mm-hmm. She started SpokesBuzz, and that was, like, her brainchild and baby.
No.
It never seemed like a very fun, it wasn't for the love of fundraising.
Oh, yeah.
That she started that. It was for the love of music and bands, and you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, literally, like, oh, my God. So, I grew up with this theater. I'm not gonna name them. But the name of the theater was ran by the people with those names. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, with nonprofits, there's just some money issues. And there's a brother that kind of, like, started it all. But then, of course, had to do, like, some other things because a nonprofit, you don't get money, and he has a family to feed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'd get, like, money. And then, of course, the sister that also ran it was trying to help him out, and then ended up being, like, this whole thing. A court case came out, and, like, essentially the board took away the theater from the family that started the theater.
Jeez.
And kept the name for, like, a while that had the family's name. But, yeah, nonprofits, they're great, work for them, amazing, but also it's a little messy, and it takes a tough heart. It takes a strong heart. Yeah. Strong heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm not trying to disparage nonprofits.
No, I'm not either. I love nonprofits. Yeah. Like,
I also don't want to be a dentist. You know what I mean? But I respect dentists. I don't want to be,
a
grant writer or, like, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I'm totally here for, like, my goal at some point, I want to be able to kind of work with a nonprofit, but. It's just, there is a lot of heart and work and blood and sweat when it comes to nonprofits. So appreciate the nonprofits that are around you, because they're doing a fuck ton of work just to get it up and going. But yeah, okay, so we're getting a little bit towards, Kayleen, can I steal your phone for the music?
Yes.
Yes. One of these days I'm going to have something else. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. So, we're kind of revising the name. And by we, I mean me. But, originally it was called Clip Bits, I think. But it was, I'm going with Second Sounds. How's that sound? Because, you know, you only get 5 seconds, Second Sounds. Do you have any names?
I kind of wanted to just, like, see the form, you know, how this flowed in the format of everything.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest, because...
I never know what to expect. Yeah.
So, I was curious about this part, because I'm like, oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to do terrible at this, but, like... yeah.
But, essentially, the name of the game will go Clip Bits, Second Sounds, to be determined, even though this is, like, the fourth interview I've had. I gotta get it figured out. But, at the end of the day, it is kind of just a test to see if you are a real fan or a fake fan. Maxwell gave me 3 of his top artists. I will be playing a couple of songs from each artist, and essentially you get 5 seconds, mm-hmm. roughly 5 seconds.
Of the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the 5 seconds in my head, sure. You know. A Jack's 5, if you will. Mm-hmm. But with that, you are going to try to name the artist, the name of the song, and the album that it comes from.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm going to be terrible at this.
Okay, so let me just pull up the songs. Oh, wait, I guess I should probably look up the name of it first.
I even forget the names of the bands that I sent you. This
will be fun. There it is. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Let me turn it up a bit. Okay. So you get 5 seconds, and starting, I'll play this first one.
It's TV on the radio. The album is, I'm gonna do so bad at this.
It's okay, me too.
The album is Return to Cookie Mountain?
You're very close. It is not Return of the Cookie Mountain.
Okay.
Or Return to Cookie Mountain. It's okay. Another one. Do you know? It's the first one I found. I don't know if it's actually their first, but on Spotify it says it's their first.
Their first album?
Yeah.
Yeah. Desperate Youth. Wait, is that the name of that?
You're close. There's a second half to it.
Yeah. Desperate Youth and something. What is it?
Bloodthirsty Babes.
There it is.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Did you name the same name of the song?
No.
Okay, it's called Poppy.
Okay, yeah.
There we go. Okay, so we got, let me put that second one.
Fake fan.
You're a fake fan, sorry.
Are there gonna be, like, point boxes where it's, like, fake fan, real fan, and then it's, like, little tally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's, let me think, there's 7 songs. Oh. I usually do 6 to 7 songs. Mm. So, and then it goes off of, like, obviously the artist, the name, and the album.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Okay. This is going to be your second round.
Pretty sure you just made that song up.
I did.
I'm pretty sure that song doesn't exist.
That's actually upcoming on my next. No, just kidding.
You're like, I'm your favorite band.
I'm your favorite artist. Yeah. Artist.
I actually don't know. It sounds like a Big Wild potentially song.
Okay. Yep. You're very close. Or no, you are. You're right on that one.
Yeah, it's probably off of his newest album.
Do you know the name?
Don't know the name of that.
Okay. Are you tapping out on this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally tapping out.
It's the Red Sun and the Effervescence Spear.
Yeah, I've heard a few songs on that album. It just hasn't been my favorite. So.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay. Because, honestly, if I'm glad I'm the host, so I don't have to be questioned.
Because it's not...
I would be so humbled.
Yeah.
I would be so humbled, and people would probably never want to listen to me ever again, because they'd be like, he's such a fake fan. Okay, so this is going to be round 3.
must be careful now. And the song is called what is it called? The album is The Trials of Van Occupanther.
Okay, yep.
And the song might be Van Occupanther.
Yep, you got it. Yeah. Okay, yep. Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
Okay, okay.
Real then, fan. Real fan. I'm a real fan of Midlake.
Not the others. Just kidding. And then we'll see. This one.
I don't know. I'm tapping out.
Do you need... I'll give you, like, a random five seconds into the song, if you'd like. Mind you, I don't know what this 5 seconds will help you or not, but...
TV on the radio.
Okay.
I don't know the song.
That's fair. Yeah. It's Wash the Day Away, and it is Return to Cookie Mountain.
Yeah?
You got the cookie.
Okay.
And then... Red Dress.
Oh, song's called Red Dress, TV on the Radio, Dear Science is the album.
Ding, 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 yay. You got it! Good
is that
lord.
Is that the right album?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's funny.
That's so funny.
So, I think I'm more fake fan than real fan.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, you kind of have been, you're so far one of the faker fans I've had.
Oh.
Yeah. It's okay, though.
But not the fakest fan? The most fake fan?
I've only had, like, every other person's guessed everything, and I think the only one was... No, actually, it might be a little bit. It's a little bit mixed because I interviewed the Crooked Rugs, and they got a 4 out of 6.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But I'm still have a chance, I think.
What am I? 2 out of.
I really haven't been. Let me think. You got you got 2 out of. I don't know how many so far.
Yeah.
But you have 7, so you can pick up. You can pick up the pace.
Hit me.
Okay. It was a bit of a newer album from them, but...
We'll Big Wild?
Okay, yep.
Is the album the same one from the earlier?
No, it is a different one.
Okay. Which was called Super Something? Super Sleep? Super Dream.
There you go.
Yeah. Super Nightmare.
Super Nightmare. Okay, can you guess the name of the song?
No.
Okay, Tapping Out. It is gonna be Ali Oop.
Okay.
Okay, last but not least, and I'm gonna try to not say
you know
it.
It's embarrassing. If I said the Spice Girls, I could tell you every single song and every single album. I would have rocked this, but they're just not my favorite.
Sometimes you just gotta...
I could have said Taylor Swift done better than I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Next time.
Yeah.
You know, next time, you know, hopefully we get, oh my God, what am I trying to say? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Okay, there we go. Okay, so this is the last one.
Mm. You know, I'm just gonna fully tap out of everything else. Yeah.
Okay, so this one's called The Reprimand, and it is from Bandman and Sliver Cork. Have you even listened to that? Does that one sound familiar to you?
No.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. Well, obviously round 2 is hopefully gonna be with Edison.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we know that your list of artists is going to be
Edison.
favorite band. Shut up.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been scary if he ended up being a fake fan for that one.
I know, yeah.
But, you know, with Edison, I'll make sure to pick songs from only, you know, Taylor Swift, the Spice Girls. fuck, I can't think of another one. But
yeah,
we'll have a round two. We'll have a round two.
Okay.
So you got the little bit of feeling for this.
Yeah.
You'll be up and ready next round.
For sure.
But yeah.
Is this Bon Voyage?
This is a little bit of a Bon Voyage. Okay. So thank you guys for listening to Maxwell Hughes and I just jibber jabber. Get to learn a lot of awesome things about him. Make sure to check the links below. And as always, have a wonderful, beautiful day and take care.